Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show.
Siren Media Group is a multimedia company.
They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of
hate. I think there's still a lot of hope for us to progress.
We are continuing last week's topic of the complex business, social, and political street mind of Tupac Shakur.
Being shot is either going to lead you to one of the two keys, either dinner or
better. Siren Media Radio, topic today is a family secret. Incest and molestation.
It's devastating.
It's the job of the parents to protect the children.
So our topic today is, should college student athletes receive payments?
That person, the college, is making probably about $4 to $5 million a year off that person.
Siren Media Radio. So our topic today is, my baby is a gangster like me. Hereditary gang membership.
The recession is getting bad now for the whole world, but it's really been bad for poor people in America for a long time.
Because those of us who walk around free of incarceration have figured out a way to institutionalize ourselves.
As generations of poverty who didn't believe that they could rise above their class, their stature, their education level, tried to get in where they can fit in.
There have been many of our people across the country from all walks of life who have taken it upon themselves to try and pool their ideas and to come up with some kind of solution to the problem that confronts all of our people.
What's good, people? Today is Thursday, February 12, 2014, and you're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show. I'm your host from Michigan, Dwight Rock Walker, and joining me today is my co-host. First, she's a social worker as well as a social and political pundit from Jersey City, New Jersey, Shonda Fence, a.k.a. IQ. What's happening, IQ?
Hey, good evening. It's a pleasure to be here again on tonight. How are you?
I'm just fine. Waiting for Wise to call in, but he hasn't called in yet, so hopefully he will sometime tonight. In the meantime, you can join us. Our number is 347-215-7095. Once again, that's 347-215-7095. Our blogs are live, and you can talk with us live on that blog at blogtalkradio.com/cybermediaradio. And that's SIRA Media Radio. There's always our Facebook page at Siren Media Radio and Twitter at Siren Media Group. Siren Media Group is a multimedia company with a focus on film, videography, photography, graphic design, and entertainment, as well as online sales. Our radio show focuses on all of these elements, including social and political awareness. A lot of times, IQ, that's kind of a tongue twister there. I got to try and get it out as quick as possible. Before we get going. Obviously, I'm going to be wandering away from home, you know, just going up to Jersey, you know, take care of some business. Got a family member who passed away, going to take care of that. But also, Syra is doing some stuff up there. We have a big gala at Lowe's Theater tomorrow.
Nice.
It's going to be a real big thing, like a red carpet type thing. So we're going to be doing that tomorrow. And actually, I'm just going to stop by, you know. A lot of the other guys are working tomorrow, so I really won't be working tomorrow. I'll just stop by and see how they're doing and check on my guys, make sure they're doing everything right. But it should be a big, nice thing. I think it's a wedding in Lowe's Theater. It's not the first one I've been to there, but, you know, it should be a nice one. It's the first one I'm actually having my guys work on, so it should be real nice. Anyway, so just to let you know, we do photography and videography for weddings, so that's the reason why I was trying to plug it there. So today's topic is, are unions still relevant? Are you ready, IQ?
I don't know. We're going to see in a second now, aren't we?
All right, so first off, I had a cousin, actually a cousin, my wife's cousin, who said to me, now he's a manager, keep in mind, of a company that's affiliated with some of the automakers. And he basically said that, you know, unions really serve no purpose. We don't need them anymore. Unions was for something in the past. You know, we don't need them at this point in time. And, you know, I always find it very strange when people may say something and they're on that side of the fence, but you don't look on the other side of the fence to see how other people who may not have unions and, you know, what they're doing. Now, albeit, I'm not full union pro, but I'm not against it either. I think unions do serve a purpose personally. Now, I want you to think back to 2008, all right? In 2008, I believe it was General Motors was negotiating with their union. I'm not sure if their union was the UAW. I believe it was UAW, one of those. But they were negotiating with the union. And basically, prior to the collapse, the financial collapse in 2008, the American-made cars were terrible. They sucked for the most part. Yeah, you could pick and choose certain ones that were okay. But for the most part, Ford, Chrysler, GM, they all sucked. All right? After a certain amount of time, those cars start breaking down. If you compare them to the foreign cars, a lot of the foreign cars, which eventually I had to go foreign, they just ran better. They ran for a long time. You get into a Toyota that was 20 years old, and it might not look the best, but it was running great, you know. So compare that to what the big three were doing. It was just ridiculous. So when the collapse of 2008 happened, you remember that, right, Sean, and everything that happened where, yeah, they had to have the bailouts and this and that. Well, mm-hmm. The big thing is, and keep this in mind, and I don't want to press this wrong because I said this to someone before. People who were getting paid who worked at these car places, you know, for the most part, they got paid a lot of money. Some people would kind of say, oh, you know, you're getting $70 an hour, this and that. Sometimes that was the case if you were getting overtime, but that wasn't it all the time. But you are still pulling in between $30 and $50 an hour, at least, at that point in time. Mm-hmm. But the cars were crap, once again. Plastic all inside. I mean, you know, when I'm looking at my Nissan had leather, and I'm looking at a lot of these cars that were plastic, this and that. So they didn't really put the money into it, but where was the money going? It was going to the people. Now, the unions was the ones who fought, doing what they're supposed to do, fighting for the people, trying to inch and push management more and more. But this time, with the collapse of 2008, the company basically said, we cannot meet the demands of the union. We just don't have it. The union pushed them and pushed them and pushed them until the company finally said, you know what, if we can't operate without the unions on our back the way it is, then we're just going to close because we can't go on like this. And finally, the unions kind of conceded in what they were trying to do. And, you know, because of that, there was less money that was put out. Keep it real. That helped in formulating and saving the car companies. The cars themselves built so much better. Even now, I can get a used car for 90,000 miles, and you go to the mechanic, and the mechanic will tell you, oh, yeah, those cars are good for 200,000 miles. Such an improvement. Doesn't mean that the wages of the people have gone down a whole lot, but it has gone down considerably because they had to concede during that negotiation time. So there are times where the unions are very good for people, help people stand up for each other, bargaining for people, even if people are not in unions, but they're bargaining for people in general and it helps them out. But then there are other times where the union is perceived as greedy, where they want so much from a company, and then the company turns around and says, you know what, if we have no choice, we have to fall in line. If not, and like in the case with GM, you know, we will have to close. So, IQ, I'm curious, what is your stand as far as unions are concerned? Where do you stand as far as relevance and how they are needed in today's time?
In terms of employment, I've only had two jobs where I've experienced unions. That was when I worked at United Postal Service and now as a state employee. My first experience with the unions was the beautiful one in that all that they agreed upon in terms of, you know, the amenities the employees would receive, I wasn't necessarily happy about it. But as a part-time employee, I was paid very well. My benefits covered the entire birth of my child, hospitalization, all everything, C-section, and everything was paid for as a part-time employee at UPS. And we had no concern in terms of how we were taken care of while there. Now, at the state, my experience is a little bit different. It isn't the best, but unions come in and are effective when needed in terms of employees who have done something they really should not have done, But so that they keep their jobs, the unions will come in and be excellent advocates. Now, I've seen the opposite happen as well, for the most part. I see the union where I'm at right now, they do a lot to make sure employees keep their jobs and that we are doing the jobs effectively. And they're not just fighting for us to keep jobs. But the thing is, okay, we're going to fight for you to keep your job, but do your job.
Right.
Stop having to call us.
Right. And, you know, there's pros and cons here. I can tell you when I work, well, I still work for the state, but when I work for direct, I'm in a splinter company for the state now, but I work directly for the state. We had unions, and when we got laid off, they had that call back thing where they couldn't hire new people. They had to call back those people who were in the union first, and it went by seniority. So
really?
In one sense, that was great because, you know, if they're hiring again, which eventually they did, and I got called back at the time, we're talking about a couple of years ago, and that's great because it's like, hey, I had a two-month vacation for the most part, and I went back to work. On the other hand, because it's based on seniority, it wasn't great because I was almost at the bottom of the list. I probably was like, I think, one class ahead or something of everyone else. So it took that much longer for me to come back. You know, so, yeah, you get a job if you don't find something else, which would be great anyway, but at least you get to come back. Now, that's when they did that. But I still consider that a positive. Now, on a negative note, what they did when we were leaving, and this is not all unions. This is depending on the union, that particular union that you're in. But what they would do is, as for if you work for a call center, which I did at the time, the scheduling of days off, you had to put in like a year in advance. You have to put in for a year in advance that September 12th, or let's make it more practical, Christmas, you want to take a day off. And if someone else had more time in than you, and then they came, now I put my time in January, but they came in put their time in March or February or April. They got the time off because they have seniority over me. So I put mine in on January to request those days. They put theirs in March, but they still get off because they have seniority. It was ridiculous. And it made things very difficult for a lot of people. You know, you couldn't take a day off when you wanted to, you know, but someone did say people are going to take days off anyway. You know, they're going to just take the day off, you know, and say they were sick or something, you know. So when it comes to operations, it wasn't the greatest. Also, in terms of, you know, bargaining. Now, this is what we wanted to get into here. So you see what's happening or what happened in Wisconsin when they made the right-to-work law, did the same thing in Michigan. Technically, they can't force you to be in a union. Now, people say, and I want to get your opinion on this, IQ, people say, you know, if you don't make people be in a union when they first join up, then you kind of, they're actually weakening the union, which you are kind of in a sense. If you're giving people the option, they might say, hey, I don't want to be in the union, and you weaken the union. All right? Right. Now, here's the issue, though. The union is still going to negotiate on your behalf, whether you're in the union directly or not. You reap the rewards from the contract that is in place for the union workers. I know I do. So if I make a certain amount of money and the union negotiates, you know, just in general, and to raise whatever the amount is, even though I'm not in the union now, I still get the raise because I'm a state employee based on them. So the question is it fair? Is it fair for people to reap that reward? And if enough people don't participate in a union, the union can't bargain for you. And if they can't bargain for you, guess what happens? You become a regular employee, non-union. As a non-union employee, there's certain, unlike with the union, you won't have those regulations or those things in place for someone to fight for you. So what's your opinion on that, IQ?
I feel like that's a catch-22. You do get to reap the benefits in terms of wage increases and in terms of benefits packages. However, if you should take part in any indiscretions while employed there, you have no representation. So
right.
Sure, you reap benefits, but at the end of the day, if you ever need them to hold you down or to to be an advocate for you. You're out there on your own. Now, there are some workplaces where, although you choose not to become a part of the union, you still paying for union dues.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I see it, if you're going to pay into union dues, you might as well just go on ahead and allow the union to be able to be an advocate for you.
Now, but now here's the other side, though, because I always think about, would I really want to be forced into paying dues? I honestly think I really should have a choice. On the other hand, though, if they are negotiating, and it depends on how much your union dues are, if you're paying 10, 15 bucks or whatever, for somebody that could really hurt them, for other people it may not be a big deal, but think of what they're getting you in return. Now, if you don't see your union, like there's some unions that do absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm,
and if that union
mm-hmm.
is not doing anything for you, then that needs to be looked at as, should I be paying into that union or not?
Well,
what do you think?
The onus is on the members of the union to stand up and to make their voices heard. See, because you charge me each time I get paid because I am a part of this union. So what that means is I need to be able to be confident that whatever you guys are, whatever you guys stand for, you're going to stand solid to, and I shouldn't have any issues in terms of whether or not my union is valid. Now, feel as though that's the case at all times because, like you said, as a matter of fact, I know someone personally. There's a union where she works, but I ask you, do they advocate on behalf of the employees? Absolutely not. The employees get treated like dirt, but because the employer and the union work in cahoots with one another, the union is there just for the simple fact that they're supposed to have a union at the workplace, not because the union is there to advocate for the employees.
I wonder, is that something that's common? I wonder, is that common? Imagine what you just said. Union, employer, in cahoots with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Probably collect the money for the employer. You never know. You know,
mm-hmm.
but just to
mm-hmm.
say when government comes in, hey, we have a union. They're represented. You know, these people are happy.
But they're not.
And they're not.
They're not. They're not. And they're not being properly represented, nor is anyone advocating on their behalf. How is it you can work an 8-10-hour day, but you're not guaranteed lunch? Why do I have to continue to work throughout this entire day, but when I let you know I need a restroom break, you telling me you need me to get across town to go take care of some issues? Why? Why is that?
Very
because the union and the employer are working together. There's no way in the world I'm going to let my union know something similar to that and they not take my employer to the bank and ring them out. There's no way. Stop. It's not possible. It's not going to happen. But I see it happen in other places.
So that brings us back to our question here. Are unions still relevant? Are they relevant in the case of everything that's going on? And if they are relevant, then would you say, and this is for you, the governors and the people of states who are doing these things and implementing these right-to-work laws, which essentially weaken the unions that bargain and advocate, or should, especially like state unions, things like that, but bargain and advocate on behalf of individuals, do you feel, and that's the question, that unions are still relevant today? And if so, should we be doing something about governments who are implementing these laws, the right-to-work laws?
I'm a little mixed. I'm a little mixed in terms of are they relevant, but I can definitely tell you they will no longer be effective if we do not continue to make sure our rights are being protected by utilizing the union. There are a lot of us who, like you said, that $10 to $15, they want to see that $10 or $15 in their pocket. They're not thinking about what's going to be in their best interest long term. Unions would be absolutely relevant if we continue to do as my grandmother and my mother were doing with their union. When their unions had meetings, there was standing room only in those meetings. When they needed to go to the bargaining table, they went to the bargaining table as a full force. Nowadays, when you hear about unions union meetings and things of that nature, you can hear pin drops in the room. You know how you can hear the birds whistle all throughout the doggone room? And that makes no sense to me. I feel like the unions have weakened because our understanding and respect of what they stand for has weakened. It's now at a place where, as we previously discussed, employers get more benefit from having unions in their workplace than the employees do. And that's a problem, the way I see it.
I wonder if, you know, now here's the other side to that, too, because I'm just thinking about how unions, and it's funny now, I used to think that companies were afraid of unions. And a lot of times, I wouldn't say they necessarily let them get what they want, per se. But it was a negotiation, and it's all about winning. Like, let's take, for instance, with the state. About 2 years ago, they were doing a negotiating with a contract, you know, basically for the union. You had, I think there's three major unions in the state of Michigan. So all three of these unions would get together, and then they would go and negotiate with the governor and his team. So basically from that, they came out with something that was beneficial to the state and to the union. I think they had to concede on maybe some medical stuff, but for the most part, they got their raises and et cetera, et cetera. After the governor got reelected and or close to that time, when the governor went back and had to negotiate again, the governor and his team decided, you know what, we're not going to negotiate with all three of you at the same time like we did last time. We're going to do each one of you at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I guess there was a tactic there to try to break up the momentum, but, I mean, the unions just got together anyway, talked, and then each one of them went in and basically said the same thing that the other one said. So they didn't do too well on the bargaining table this time, not because of that per se, but just in general because of everything that's going on with the state, et cetera, et cetera. But then the governor comes around and does the right-to-work law. So now people are looking at it and saying, hey, you know, should I opt out of it? What is the union doing for me? See, people can't acquaint, and this is what I wanted to ask you here, people can't acquaint bargaining for someone, put that up against your daily activities. How does it benefit you? It benefits you because you actually get paid more money and have more benefits because the union bargains for you. So why is it difficult for people to put that together, IQ?
Well, I really can't speak to the way that they think, but I can tell you this. Based upon the representation that is in place where I work at, I can be okay with you paying me a little bit less, and I have an advocate within the union. See, because everyone is human. We all err. All of us have done something they should not have done in the workplace at some point in their lifetime. And when you have someone to advocate on your behalf, and someone, like you said, can go to the table and bargain, have a bargaining chip, you have a better chance at maintaining employment. Now, why it is that most people can't wrap their head around the fact that it's in their best interest to have a third-party advocate, I'm not sure. But unions can come in and do things that lawyers can do in a courtroom. And a lot of people don't understand that part. Your union rep is like an attorney on your behalf. It is where I work at. You let a supervisor hear, I want my union rep to sit in on that meeting. why you need them here? What you
right.
need the union rep for?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't understand why people can't wrap their head around that concept.
So now here's the other side, too. I know I keep saying the other side, but this is the other thing. Now, I've seen where unions can not be a good thing in terms of, like, let's take with school, with teachers. There are some teachers who beat me down for saying this, but you have some very bad teachers. I was never big on tenure and things like that. I was never big on that, primarily because, don't get me wrong, I like people who work and get ahead based on what the work that they produce and what they do and their initiative, not because they've been there the longest. Some people have their, you know, their thing about that. They think that, you know, a person should be there. They should be justified in doing it. I've seen a lot of bad teachers that people, that schools can't get rid of just because they're in the union and they have that tenure.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the downside, too. when it comes to unions, you know, everything is not perfect. There's a lot of things they need to work on. And I just feel like that's one of them. That's a major thing because that's inside the school. I can tell you the Jersey City school system alone, you know, there was a bunch of teachers, you know, that I had that probably really shouldn't have been there. What's your experience?
Said that because I just had a parent-teacher conference with my little girl's teacher today. And it brought back memories of really, really bad teachers in a classroom. Now, it turned out as I grew up and paid attention to what was happening in the Board of Education, they were phenomenal administrators, but they sucked as teachers. And a lot of us, we had to deal with the punishment from parents as well as we did not retain what we needed in our lessons due to the fact that they weren't effective teachers. Some of the teachers really need to be all teachers need to be monitored. And if what you're doing is not effective within a classroom, the union should step in and back the Board of Education. Yeah, we got your back, but you have to step your game up. If your students aren't learning from you, we can't do anything for you because our reason for being here is to make sure your job stays intact, but you shouldn't keep a job you're not good at, especially with the lives of the minds of our future are at stake.
And it shouldn't be so difficult to get rid of that teacher based on, you know, certain situations, you know. And not only that, because that person has tenure, a lot of times instead of getting rid of the teacher, they just move the teacher to another school, you know. So where's accountability? You know, like I said, and it just brings us back to the original question here, are unions still relevant? Absolutely. Are unions perfect? No.
No.
Do they have things to work on? Absolutely. You know, so as we go through this and we see, like, the changes, and I wish Wise was on, you can see, like, the conspiratory changes that are happening, trying to weaken unions over time. Some things are based on greed, obviously, because they want as much money as they can get, and obviously a union is in their way if they're paying people wages more. But on the other side, too, unions can be hindrance towards a company excelling. And so you have both sides. It's not all unions, but it's some. And it's enough to take notice of. All right? IQ, you get the last word tonight.
We have to make sure that those of us who are members of a union, we are taking part in actively what it is the union needs us to do. We also have to make sure that there's accountability on the union's part that they're advocating on our behalf effectively. But let's not forget what Dwight mentioned before. Unions are relevant when we continue to be consistent in making sure that we do our part. Let's not fall lazy in terms of being decent employees. Let's be the best employees we could possibly be, and let's make sure unions stay relevant. Otherwise, what's the sense in them staying around?
Thank you, IQ, and thank you for joining us tonight on Cyber Media Radio. For questions and comments, you can reach us on our Facebook page at Cyber Media Radio. That's one word, S-I-R-A Media Radio. Or tweet us at Cyber Media Group. From producer Josh Johnson, executive producer Perry Woody, my co-host Sean Defense. Well, I wish that Wise was still on, but hey, we're...
Yes.
I'm your host, Dwight Walker. Talk to you next week. And remember, Psalms 37:24. Peace out.